AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. We are working right now. We've got him here, it sounds like. The Senate District is 19, which is down southwest of the metro area. Of course, Mankato, St. Peter, quite a few townships down there as well. Joining us right now is the DFL Senator from Senate District 19, Senator Nick Frentz, kind enough to join us as Democrat of the Day, the Assistant Minority Leader in the Minnesota Senate. Senator, thank you very much. I really appreciate the time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
I'm glad you were able to make it. I wanted to quickly just mention, your family is from that region from 150 years ago?
Who told you that?
I saw it on your website. That's amazing.
That's on my dad's side. Yeah, they're all from West Mankato and goes back quite a few generations. And proud of it, too. Although, you know, proud of the whole state.
Well, my family was up in the Iron Range for a long time, way back when, and, you know, that's just great. And the fact that you can go back 150 years, I think that's magnificent. You know the community. I mean, obviously, you're the kind of person you want to represent the district. You know it inside and out. Let's talk about last session. What were some of the things that you were happy with that you got done in 2021?
Well, I think the budget being passed is probably the thing that helped most Minnesotans the most different ways. We passed a $52 billion biennial budget. So, folks, that's everything from transportation to education to health care to state government and everything in between. I think of all the things we did dealing with COVID, to get that done more or less with bipartisan support was probably the top thing that happened last year.
As you come into now, I mean, obviously it's an election year. There's already lines being drawn. You're in a Senate where the Republicans are in control. They have an agenda and they have a tendency of looking at the Democrats and saying, sit down and shut up. We'll tell you when to vote. And that sort of mentality. You're the ranking minority member on the Energy Utilities Finance Policy, Agriculture and Rural Development Finance Policy. You're on that committee as well. So what are you going to try to do here in this, you know, this upcoming session? What are some things you want to champion in those committees and in the Senate overall?
Well, I appreciate you mentioning that. I think, first of all, good policy is good politics. So we want to do the things that Minnesotans want. On the Energy and Utility Committee, I do enjoy serving as a ranking member. We have to work on climate change. We want to decrease carbon emissions. There's also quite a bit of money coming from the infrastructure bill out of Washington,
yes,
D.C. So we want to have matching funds for that. Some of the things I think are going to be most helpful to Minnesotans in that area include EV charging infrastructure, continuing to work to decarbonize industry and transportation, and some of the other things that we've been working on longer term, like weatherization. This is a proposal that I think the DFL will champion for making low-income homes more energy efficient. It's a great investment. It saves everybody money and decarbonizes, in that the more efficient we are, the less we have to produce electricity, and that helps us reduce our overall carbon emissions. I think electric vehicles is also at a tipping point. We're talking about sales doubling over the last 2 years of electric vehicles in the country. And I'm no expert, but I can see Ford and General Motors saying that their entire fleets will be all electric by 2035. And you may have seen about 2 weeks ago, Chrysler Corporation, which is smaller, but they said their plan is now to be all electric by 2028. So, folks, this train is coming down the tracks, and I think Minnesota should position itself to be ready and to lead.
Senator, you bring these things up, and I mean, you're absolutely spot on correct, 100% correct. You even have one of the energy companies coming out today, I think, was saying that they are going to try to be a substantial amount green energy here before the 2040. And so you do have this out there, but at the same time, you do run into these Republicans where they are rigid. I mean, you saw how Senator Ingebrigtsen was fighting the green, you know, the green cars.
Clean cars.
He was trying his best to stop that. Even though, as you say, you can't get an electric car. They're off the lot before they're even they're displayed. They're so popular. Yet,
sure,
you know, this is what they're coming back. It feels as if, even though the public wants these, the consumer wants these, the Republicans are determined to prevent that from happening.
Well, a couple things. First of all, you're 100% right about the demand. Let me just add a little detail. Ford Motor Company, folks, you may know, has a Ford F-150 full-size pickup Lightning all-electric vehicle.
Yeah.
And they originally said, we're going to build 75,000 of them. They have now received over 200,000 pre-orders, and they have stopped taking orders. That's how popular that one model is. And as we know, Tesla, the corporation, is now worth over $1 trillion. So your point is exactly right. The people of the country, the people of the planet are saying, let's switch. Part of that is electric vehicles being cheaper to maintain. So there is an economic argument. But to your point, you know, where we've found resistance, it's that we don't want to change and we are not convinced that climate change is as big a threat. And I'm also not a scientist, but I'm persuaded we have a major urgency and Democrats have a duty to bring this to the people and say, here's what we're doing. And climate change is a priority of Minnesotans, too. What we have to do is our share. I hope most people agree on that. Where we get into debates with my friends across the aisle is how much of a hurry we're in. And unfortunately, the evidence is quickly supporting the Democrat position, which is that we don't have a lot of time.
Your district is dynamic. And it's actually kind of, I got to imagine, kind of fun because you have a metropolitan area. I like Mankato. I've been down to Mankato a bunch of times in the last few years because my kids keep doing like honor bands and stuff down in Mankato. And so I've been down there a few times. You've got a metropolitan core building there in, up to St. Peter in that area. You also have a strong ag connection, a lot of great townships down there. So when it comes to bringing things back home, bringing the bacon home to District 19, what are you looking at as far as this upcoming session? What do you want to bring home for your constituents?
Well, first of all, I am proud of our district in that it has rural, some suburban North Mankato where I live is kind of like Richfield or Bloomington. And urban, you know, Mankato's somewhere between growing and booming. So it's a good point. And by the way, let me know next time you're down there. I'd love to hear some music. What we're trying to do is the basics of a regional center. We have to support the university in town. That's Minnesota State Mankato. They have bonding projects. They have faculty and students that want support, not just pay, but tuition help, which I think the state should do. You know, when we have a quality of life that comes from a certain commitment to diversity that I think has served us very well in being a welcoming community. I think the next 20 years, Minnesota communities are going to have to decide, are people welcome here or not? And just as an example, the Mankato Diversity Council, which serves the region, you know, it has meetings with over 200 people. If you create an environment where communities of color are welcome, not only will you draw that community, but you'll also draw the people who want to live in a welcoming community. And I think you look at the growth in student population at Minnesota State University, and you can see the fruits of that labor. I also want to, you know, build agribusiness, which has been, you know, mainstay of the economy in southern Minnesota for about 150 years. And we have corn and soybean production down there. Mankato is the number one soybean processing city in the country, I believe. And I think we want to continue to support and respect those families for who that's their small business. And I think we can do all that and be a leader.
Well, and how do you the margins for the farmers today are so tight. How can we improve that scenario?
Well, that one's a great one because we have bipartisan agreement on drought relief for one thing. So farmers that were hit by drought in the short term, they should receive the $15 million that I think both parties agreed to. As far as the margins, we want to do value-added things. I'm a proponent of biofuels like ethanol and biodiesel. There are estimates that say our ethanol programs not only clean the air, that's a good thing, I hope, but adds 50 to 100 cents per bushel for the price of corn, so that supports it. We also want to continue to support agriculture with innovation. So we're working on a bill today to support soybean innovation, you know, trying to come up with the next generation of good ideas. And Americans have always been great innovators, and farmers are very thrifty. And the combination of the two, I think, will keep ag strong in our district and across the Midwest for a long time.
For everyone out there listening right now, Senator Frentz is going to have a target on him, and a big one, too. The Republicans want 19. They are going to be very, very hard on the senator, and we need to get him back in St. Paul. I want everyone out there, help your local Democrat. DFLers, by all means, help him out. But take a few bucks. Make a donation to Senator Frentz. Also, this summer, if you want to go, Mankato is cute. It's nice. St. Peter is absolutely adorable. Go on down there. Do some door knocking. Help out with the campaign and have a nice little weekend visit down there. If people would like to get in touch with you for your campaign, for what, either a donation or to volunteer, Senator, what's the website?
Well, there's a Friends for Senate website that we use to try to, you know, marshal support. And I appreciate that very much. That's gracious of you. We welcome any help for the DFL or for my campaign, but also we see the Mankato area as a regional center on the political side, too. We have a lot of districts around us with a little bit less DFL representation. Of course, the governor's from West Mankato. That's just coincidence, I swear. And their campaign will be down there. And so, you know, we're looking to bring the basic message. Democrats are for working men and women and for equality, racial equality, gender equality, and equality of opportunity. And if you're interested in that and you're in the area, please feel free to give us a call.
That's French, FRENTZFOR, Senate.com. I'll link to everything on social media a little bit later on. Senator, by all means, you have a wonderful session. If you ever need to come back, by all means, please do, okay?
Anytime, you let me know. And meanwhile, I hope everybody out there is safe and happy, has a great Valentine's Day, and stay tuned.
Senator Nick French, Democrat of the day, Senate District 19. Thank you very much, Senator. I do appreciate that. Brett,
thank you.
You bet. Brett, we do have to do the AM 950 Wordle. Our winner today is going to be Kurt. Kurt, who actually put this in up on the Facebook live stream. Sequester, S-Q-R, sequester. Great word. Squirt, squire, square, squirrel. Did you have any other ones besides that one?
I can't quite look at the sheet right now.
Okay, all right. No problem. Kirk, congratulations. Don't worry. AM 950 Wordle, we're playing it again tomorrow. Have a good one. Native Roots Radio up next. Until tomorrow, see ya.